It's interesting. We live in a culture that is saturated with information, right? We've got Facebook, we've got Twitter, right? We've got Google, we've got Siri with the new voice, right? For those of you who downloaded iOS 8, right? We have Alexa, right? We have so many other ones that I'm not even aware of, right? But we have our GPS tools. How many are thankful for the GPS, right? Who still second guesses the GPS? I don't know why I do that. Like, they're like, turn right. I'm like, no, you don't really mean that. And then I find out, I wonder why I got lost. It just is amazing. But here's the thing. We're surrounded by people and devices that love to tell us what to do and where to go. Aren't we? I mean, I don't know about you. My guess is you're very much like me, that you don't lack getting advice. I don't lack getting advice. I don't have to look too far or listen too broadly to get something to whisper into my ear to tell me what to do. My challenge is this. My challenge is to ensure that the voice that I listen to is His voice and not a distraction that keeps me from hearing His voice. Can anybody relate with that in here this morning, right? We are surrounded by people and devices and all kinds of things that want to tell us where to go. And sometimes those are very helpful, but our challenge as God's people is to make sure that the voices we're listening to are not a distraction from hearing His voice. And I'm not talking about the voices in your head. That's a whole different message for another day. But I'm talking about the input that we are saturated in. Last week, we took a look at part one of a two-part message that we're calling, Is That You, Lord? Because as God's people, we have all come to that place in our life when decisions need to be made, right? Where turns needed to be made in the course of our life, that we had to wonder, is that You, Lord? Is this the direction that You're leading me? Because we're here, You're here today, or You're tuning in, not because You're looking to follow a person or a building or an organization. You want to hear from God. Right? You want to hear, what is God saying to me? Where is God leading me? Where is God bringing our family? And so if there's ever a time that we need to be very intentional about tuning out all of the other voices around us, it's now. I know for me, I hear and have so much input coming into my life that I need to be really strategic into making sure that the only voice that lands is His voice. Last week we talked about God placing us in His will, right? There are times where, unbeknownst to us, times where it wasn't our intention, it wasn't something we looked for, we found some curveballs that kind of come our way, and we found ourselves in a situation that we didn't ask for, but we were just kind of placed there, and we couldn't really get out of it. And it's in those times that we need to recognize that God will place us in His will sometimes so He can get our undivided attention. And it's interesting how God, we talked about this last week, how God will use storms, how God will use curveballs, how God will use all different things that hey, if we got honest, we would choose not to go through, right? I mean, how many, I want to avoid hard times. But God, who's committed to my sanctification, will bring me through the hard times, so it leaves me feeling a little bit helpless. It leaves me feeling a little bit confused. It leaves me feeling perhaps even a little bit vulnerable. Not that God gets His kicks about leaving me there, but what it does is it helps me to realize how I need Him, how I need to hear His voice. And it's in those times that God will bring me to those places so that I will seek Him and find Him. It's when He places us right into the middle of His will. It's passive in the sense that we don't do anything to get there. He just kind of places us there. How many have been placed in those times? How many are there now? I've learned something about trials. I've learned that you're either in the middle of a trial, you've just come out of a trial, or you're about to go into a trial. Right? It just seems to be the way in which God perfects and purifies his people. He'll allow, you might be in the middle of a storm, just coming out of a storm, or heading into a storm, but you can rest assured that God is never going to leave you, and he's never going to forsake you. It's one of the tools in God's belt, if you will, towards our sanctification. And so as we continue in our series, Is That You, Lord, we're going to take a look at a more active approach than we looked last week in determining the will of God. And the title of my message this morning is this: Pursuing the Will of God. Pursuing the will of God. Sometimes we are just placed in the will of God, but then there are times where we are called to pursue God's will. I thank God that my salvation is by grace alone. Right? I mean, that's why I love coming to the table and having communion together. It's a reminder that I've done nothing to ensure my salvation. I've done nothing to earn right standing with God. I've done nothing to put me into the place where God is involved in my, I've done nothing. He has done it all, right? I am saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. I have done not any of my own works have ensured my salvation. It has been solely a work of Christ and Christ alone. And we come to the table and we remember the body that was broken. We remember the blood that was shed for you and I, and we are aware that it was only by the means of Christ that we can come into his presence. And that's a really important thing for us to wrap our arms around, because sometimes in this performance-oriented culture in which we live, we can become performance-oriented, where we think that we're only as good as the last thing we did. And if we're not careful, we can think God is performance oriented, and that we're only as good as the last thing we did or didn't do. And it's when we come to the table and we recognize what Christ has done for us, we're able to recognize that he's done it all for me. And it's solely by his means that I could be accepted into the beloved. And so I thank God that it's a work of God. Jesus said, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. And so there's that point where God went chasing after us. But I've learned something else over the years. I've learned that God loves when his people pursue him. In the same way that God chases after us, as we sang so beautifully a moment ago, God loves when his children will pursue him, will go after him, will seek him. He said, when you seek me, you'll find me. When you search for me with all your heart. And so God has put it into us, this desire, this need, this mandate to pursue him. And it is not a waste of time. It is not a trivial pursuit. God wants us to pursue him so that we might find him. You'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Many of times we'll say, well, how come I'm asking God and he's not answering me? Well, are you searching for him with all of your heart? Is it important enough to set aside time to hear from God on this? And so God loves when we are pursued and when we pursue him. And in a culture that is saturated with input and information, we need to know how to sift through the many voices that are coming into our minds and determine what is God's heart? What is God saying to me right now? The two most important questions that every Christian needs to be able to answer is, number one, what is God saying? And number two, what will I do about it? Right? What is God saying? Not how do I feel about what he's saying. How I feel about it is irrelevant. What is God saying? And what am I going to do about it? And so I want to bring to clarity this morning just this idea of how do we pursue God's will? How do we determine God's will for our life? Because as I said, you're here this morning because you want to hear from God. Right? We want direction, not from a man, we want to hear from God this morning. And God wants for us to hear him. He wants us to know that he can be found when we seek after him with all of our heart. I've been amazed over the years as I've seen many ways in which people determine the will of God. It concerns me sometimes. I will talk to people and they'll say, this is where I feel I need to do. And I'll say, why do you do that? Well, you know what? I just kind of said, like, God, if this is your will, like let a red car drive by me and I'll know that was the will of God. And it's like, and a red car drove and it was like, and I wasn't sure if it was really God's will. And then another red car went by and I was convinced at that point. And it's like, all right, like, well, you know, it's almost like we've got this, like the crazy eight ball. You remember the old crazy eight ball? Like, you know, like, what, God, what do you want me to do? And we kind of shake it up and like, you know, go and do this. Oh, it must be the will of God. It feels right to me. It concerns me. Well, my favorite one is the Bible roulette. Oh, yeah. Right? Don't you love Bible roulette? Like, oh, God, speak to me, speak to me. When he was one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. Oh, dear Lord. It's like, come on, we've got to. That's where I pulled up, actually. That's what it really was. Perfect example, right? And it's like, yeah, but you know, Pastor, you know, there were times, though, that really worked for me. Great, listen, a broken clock is right twice a day as well, right? We need to grow past our discovery of God's plan and purpose for our life. I don't know about you, but I remember growing up and we had the little box. It was like this little crystal box. You open the box up and it was full of all these little scriptures. I don't hope you don't have that anymore, Mom. But it was kind of like a spiritual fortune cookie. It really was. It was kind of like you'd go about your day, you're like, oh, let me hit the box. Let's see what the box has got to say. You shake it a little bit, right? And open it up and like you're reading scripture. And it's like, oh, that's my word for the day. Now, let me just say, you know, there are times that God will speak to you through that. I recognize God may have used those times to encourage you with his word. But what I want to kind of raise your awareness to and bring you up a little bit in your own spiritual maturity and say, you know, we don't need to find God's will that way. We need to recognize that God didn't give us a scripture. He's given us the whole word of God. And a lot of times those scriptures, when we just kind of take them out randomly like that, it might give us goosebumps and make us feel good, but sometimes it's completely taken out of context. And so the scripture isn't magical. The words aren't magical. It's the whole brevity of all that God has given to us. And so we need to kind of grow in our sanctification and to consider what is God saying. We have to move beyond just what I kind of feel in my heart, because even Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I got to tell you, there's been times in my life that I've been really sincere about what I've believed, only to learn I was sincerely wrong. And so it's this desire to say, God, what are you saying? I remember I shared this story a while back, and I remember when my son Gabriel was growing up, not that he's arrived yet, but he's still growing, right? But he was at that precious tender age where you couldn't understand the word he was saying, right? But Jonathan, my third guy, he like had the gift of interpretation. It was amazing. Like Gabriel would say something, and we'd have no clue what he was saying, and we'd be like, Johnny, what is Gabriel saying? And Johnny would be like, Gabe, what are you saying? And like he'd say something, babble, and it'd be like, oh, he wants a glass of water. He just needs some milk. And we're like, Johnny, how do you know? It's amazing. It was like, and then you feel like such a loser as a parent. You're like, man, I can't even hear my kid. Like I just, you know, but it was like an ongoing thing. And like he's as he's developing, it's like, hey, Johnny, what's Gabriel saying? You know, it just was an ongoing reality. Well, one day, We're at our kitchen table. I'll never forget this. And Gabriel comes over to Laura and I, and he said something to us. And we're like, huh? And he said it again. And I'm looking at her, and she's looking at me, and we just can't make out what he's saying. And we're trying. And you can see he's getting a little frustrated, right? And he repeats it again. And we're kind of like thinking, oh, I don't want to build on his feeling of insecurity. And we're saying, what, buddy? Say it again. And finally, he just was so like, and he went running over to Jonathan. He said, Johnny, what am I saying? Oh, it was great. Thank God for the gift of interpretation, you know. I felt like that at times. God, what are you saying? Tell me, Lord. Give me something I can kind of sink my teeth into that's going to go beyond just emotion or intuition or gut feelings. God, can you speak to me in a concrete kind of a way? Let me just say from the outset some really good news. God wants you to hear his voice. God wants you to know the direction he has for you. He doesn't want it to be this mystical mystery thing that you can't ever figure out. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 4, he said, he goes before them and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Speaking of himself, the good shepherd. His sheep, they hear his voice. John 10, verse 27 says, Jesus said, my sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You see, he's speaking about you. He's speaking about me. We, as the sheep of his pasture, can be tuned in to what God is saying to us. But sometimes we need to be really careful that we don't allow all the other voices in our life to drown out what the Good Shepherd is saying to us. Romans chapter 10 and chapter 8 and verse 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And so what that tells me is that you and I, who are the redeemed of the Lord, who are children of God, who have been bought by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, we can be led not by a man, not by an organization, not by a gut feeling, but by the Spirit of Almighty God. And that's where God is bringing us. That's where God is leading us. And as I said the other day, sometimes there's this passive way of determining the will of God, where God just places us in his will. But then there's this other time where we need to recognize that we need to do something. We need to work for it a little bit, right? We don't like that word in our Protestant umbrella, right? We don't want to hear anything that we have to do. Listen, everything that was necessary to come to Christ was done for us. But if we want to grow in our sanctification, if we want to grow and experience all that God has for us, then this will require a little perspiration, right? A little inspiration and a little perspiration. Jesus said that you'll seek me and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart, not at the changing of a green to a red light, where we throw out those, hey, God, what do you think about that? And why doesn't he ever respond to me? God wants us to seek after him. And so I want to talk to you this morning just briefly on how do we pursue the will of God? What tools are in place, if you will, for us? How does God reveal his will to us? There's a couple, there's five others, but these are some primary ways that I want to talk to you about this morning. And the most important one that I need to put out there for you, it is certainly the most concrete one, and it is the word of Almighty God. God speaks to us through his word. It changes not. It doesn't evolve with culture. It is not concerned about political opinion. It is not moved by popularity. The grass withers and the flower fades, the scriptures says, but the word of God stands forever. It changes not. Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul writes and says, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. What is that? That's discipleship. It's how we are to live our lives as the righteous of God on the earth today. That the man of God may be complete. What does that mean? It means mature, equipped for every good work. And so the word of God is given to us as a gift from God to equip us and to mold us and to point us in the direction that we are to go. And we need to recognize that while there are other ways in which God will speak to us, we'll cover a couple of those momentarily, they will never contradict his word. His word becomes the touchstone for everything we believe, everything we do, everything we hold on to. It is always brings us back to what does thus saith the Lord. Because if it is contrary to the word of God, I don't care if an angel from heaven, as Paul talks about in Galatians, comes and brings you any other message. If it's contradicting the word of God, you need to dismiss it. The word of God is the means by which we judge, engage everything that we believe and hold dear as believers. Secondly, God will speak to us by the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. The Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts. I talked last week and we looked at Jeremiah and the new covenant that was ushered in by Christ dying on the cross. Pastor Frank made reference to it this morning and just it was secured by what Christ has done. But it's interesting, Hebrews 8 reiterates the covenant from Jeremiah in Hebrews 8 verse 10. It says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds and I will write them on their hearts and I will be their God and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the least of them to the greatest." Do you realize the blessed benefit that we have of the Holy Spirit being within us? I mean, here's the scene. Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he's saying, I'm going to be leaving you soon, but don't worry because the Helper is going to come. And he will not just be with you, John chapter 16 or 17, I think it is, but he will be in you. He says it's profitable, it's advantageous for you. It's best, it's in your best interest, Jesus said, that I go away. Because when I go, then the Holy Spirit will come. And he will not just be with you, he will be in you. And he will speak of things concerning me. And so the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts and lead us and guide us and keep us walking in the direction of the Word of God. And so when we're walking and we're making those decisions that are contrary to the word of God, we know it. There's like something on the inside that says, oh, something just happened. I just stepped into the arena, an area where I don't belong. Have you ever been there? You just kind of feel like, wait a minute. I don't feel God is in this. God, where did you go? And God's like, I'm over here. Come on back to what I'm doing. Right? It's the Holy Spirit in us that puts that check in our spirit that says, no, that's not right. That's not consistent with your new nature. And so the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. And listen, sometimes it's hard to know sometimes, is that the Holy Spirit or is that my conscience or is that my past? Or and we start to, you know, wrestle with which voice is it, right? And man, this is going out on live, like we're not talking about voices in our head, right? We're just, you know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit speaking to us and us kind of having all those different voices from the past that continue to speak. And we start thinking, which one is it? You know what we need to do? We need to learn to hear his voice. And that's really it. You see, the goal isn't to have all the voices present bringing confusion. But when we're pursuing the will of God, the goal is to be able to hone in and identify his voice in the midst of a crowd. Because there's so much input coming from so many different directions, screaming so loud, that if we will pursue him, If we will seek after him, we can hear his voice in the midst of a crowd as he is speaking to our heart and saying, this is the way. This is what you should do. And let me just say, the Holy Spirit will never tell you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. If you're wondering, is that the Holy Spirit? If it's contrary to the Word of God, you can very comfortably say that is not from the Lord. I think of Peter, right, after he hears Jesus talk about his crucifixion, right? And he says, not so, Lord. Like, you're not going to do that. And Jesus says what to him? Get behind me, Satan. Right? So does that mean I'm capable of hearing the voice of Satan? You better believe it is. Just a few verses before that, when Jesus asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? Peter was the one who responded and said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And Jesus is like, blessed are you, Peter, for flesh and blood, people didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. And so in a very short amount of time, we see Peter hearing from God and hearing from Satan. And it's interesting, as we examine Peter's life and we see his ministry continue, what he began doing was tuning out the voice other, that was other than God's voice. And so what we need to do is learn the voice of the Holy Spirit in our life. And it's a great adventure. It's a great opportunity to be open and transparent with the Lord and moving forward with what he's called us to do. And so the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts. It's one of the ways in which God speaks to us and leads us. And is that you, Lord? There'll be that confirmation in our heart when the Holy Spirit is leading us. Thirdly, God speaks to us through godly counsel. Through godly counsel. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14 says, where there is no guidance, people fall. That makes sense, right? The Proverbs is wonderful, rich in wisdom, right? When there's no guidance, people fall. But in the multitude of counselors or in the abundance of counselors, there's safety. I think the New King James says, there in the multitude of counselors, there's wisdom. You see, God has given us one another. And God has given us because sometimes when we are so close to the decision we need to make, it's really hard sometimes to make an objective opinion, to have an objective opinion, right? I mean, like, it's really hard when you're in the midst of a storm to kind of see so clearly sometimes. And it's in those times that we need to recognize, we need to take a step back, and we need to get a hold of a brother or a sister and ask them, listen, here's what I'm thinking. What do you think about this? Drawing off of the godly wisdom of one another, because here's the deal. The Spirit of God resides in each and every one of God's of Christ's followers. And so as we're able to be in community with one another and grow alongside one another, God will use each other in each other's life to bring the necessary counsel and direction. And that godly counsel needs to always be encouraging you towards, you know, doing what God wants you to do, searching the Word of God. Never should it be, again, contradicting the Word of God. And let me just say, you can't ask everybody's opinion, right? I mean, have you learned that like, you know, the more people you ask, the more opinions you're gonna get, right? I've found that I can ask 10 people their opinion and I'll get 12 different answers, you know, what I need to do. You need to have a trusted friend, a brother, a sister that has some proven history with you and genuinely cares about you walking in God's best for your life and who will pray with you and for you through the process and have that God and get that godly counsel, because God speaks to us through one another. And so the godly counsel is certainly one of the ways in which God speaks to us. It works and cooperates along with the Word of God. Number four, another way in which God speaks to us is the peace of God. Right? How many have experienced that oftentimes God will lead us by his peace? Paul's prayer for the church of Colossae was, he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Govern your hearts. Lead your hearts. Control your hearts. Let the peace of God control or govern, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. And so what Paul is saying is, man, let the peace of God govern or direct or lead you. How many have been led by the peace of God? Let me be real honest. I have been led more a lot of times by the lack of God's peace, right? How many times when you're going in a direction, all of a sudden it's like the peace of God, you're not feeling that anymore. It's kind of like, wait a minute, where'd you go, right? And so it's in those moments that we get to realize, wait a second, if I'm not feeling God's peace on this, I have overstepped my boundaries. I have crossed the line. Now that doesn't mean that there's not going to be hard times, right? I'm not saying when we experience challenge, but in the most difficult of challenges, we can still have peace, right? We can still have that assurance. I often refer to kind of like knowing in our knower that, oh, boy, this isn't really fun, but I know God is in this. I know I'm where God needs and wants me to be. So God will speak to us and lead us through his peace. Oftentimes, God leads by a quiet peace, more so than a loud voice. I don't know about you, but there's times I'd rather have a loud voice because it's a whole lot easier. I like easy. Am I like easy, right? But I've discovered that sometimes God will not lead by a loud voice. He will lead by a quiet peace. Here's the backdrop here. We have Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, and Elijah had just defeated the prophets of Baal. I mean, he was God's man of the hour. They had some tremendous victory, and it was like, you know, this really successful time for God's people, and as they saw God just do extraordinary things through the life and ministry of Elijah and for God's people. And so they just experienced a tremendous win. But there was a woman by the name of Jezebel that wasn't as excited about the win as God's people was. And she had said, by this time tomorrow, you go tell that prophet he's going to be dead, just like the rest of them. And we see Elijah, who went from the hero of the hour to now seeing him run in fear for his life because this woman threatened his very being. And we see Elijah wondering, is that you, Lord? Like, we just had this tremendous win. What is going on? And we step into that story in 1 Kings chapter 19. And it says, Elijah, it says he came to a cave, verse 9, and he stayed in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, I love this, what are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down your altars and they killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. God, do you see what's going on? I'm the only one that is true. I am the only one that's fighting this battle. They have all turned on you. They've all turned from your ways, and now they're seeking my life. That's what I'm doing here. And what Elijah needs right now is affirmation from God. He needs to know that he's going to be okay. He went running because he was scared. He went running out of fear for his life. And now God shows up and says, what are you doing here? And instead of just saying, I went running away from Jezebel, because that's not cool. You're like, for your people, you know, God, I get it. But everybody else is like, they're just running all over the place. And he needs some direction from God. He needs to hear something speak louder to his heart than his fear. And God said, go out and stand on the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountains and broke them in pieces, the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake is a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. Your NIV might say a still, small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his cloak and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And then God began to instruct him again. And here's my point. What Elijah needed was some direction. He needed something to scream louder than his fear. And what he wanted to hear was God thunder from the heavens. And when the wind came and the mountains dissolved, he realized God's voice wasn't in the wind. And when the earthquake came and the ground shook, he realized God's voice isn't in the earthquake. And when the fire blazed and things were burned up, he realized God was not, his voice was not in the fire. It was this still, small voice that he needed to hear. And you know, sometimes we want to hear the loud earthquake or the loud wind or the loud voice. And we need to be careful that because that can just be a distraction from keeping us from hearing the still small voice of God. The question we need to answer when we think of things like this is, what voice speaks louder than God's in our life? You see, sometimes God will lead us by his peace. But if we're waiting for a loud crescendo voice, you're going to miss that still small voice. And can I tell you something? That still small voice rarely happens in the midst of your busy day. It rarely happens in the midst of all of the loud clamor that's all around you. I know for me, can I just be honest and tell you, my challenge is to make sure I have got to set time aside to be alone and quiet, to shut out all of the different input around me so I can hear his voice. Because all of the other good advice can be a distraction from hearing what God is saying. God will lead by his peace, even more than the loud voice. Then lastly, God leads us by the prophetic. Now, I just lost half of you in the room because that means different things to different people. Maybe when you hear the idea of the prophetic, you're thinking of a bad experience that you've seen in the past, and that's certainly not what I am. I'm not talking about the American version of prophecy as we see on display so many times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul writes and says, "Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy, but test everything, hold fast to what is good." What is prophecy today? Prophecy is when God is speaking right now to a specific situation. You see, we live in a time where people will either think that God doesn't speak today, right? That doesn't happen today, or they think that God always speaks like that, and everybody has that. I think we need to kind of, as Paul said to the church of Thessalonica, we need to test everything. But I don't know about you, but I have found in my life that there has been times where somebody can bring a scripture to me or a word of encouragement to me that maybe I've heard it 100 times before. But right now, in the midst of the season I'm in, feeling what I'm feeling, in the environment that I felt, it just landed in a way that it was nothing less than prophetic. It spoke to where I am right now. It's when natural timing intersects with spiritual timing and it hits my life and it builds me up in my faith. And God will speak to us and through us in those ways. There's been times that God, especially earlier on, and as I was discovering what God's plan was for my life, it seemed like everywhere I went and with people that I never even met before, they would affirm that, you know, God's called you to ministry, God's called you to preach the gospel in ways that were nothing less than prophetic. And so we need to recognize that God will and can and does speak prophetically to us today. I believe with all my heart that's what preaching is. How many times have you come to church and you walk out the door going, that was for me today? What is that? I might have said the same thing the week before and it might not have been for you. But when it was for you today, because the Spirit of God knew where you're at, it's like he speaks through the Word of God. It meets a spiritual need at a timely moment and it brings life. And so God will speak to us through the prophetic. God will speak to us through words of wisdom and words of knowledge where people will come in and say, hey, listen, man, here's what I just feel like this is on my heart to share with you. You know, it doesn't have to be like in, you know, King James English, thus saith the Lord. No, man, here's what's on my heart. You just need to kind of, you know, see if this is what God is saying to you. We need to recognize God speaks through us in those ways. And here's the thing. We need to remember it will never contradict the Word of God. So Paul said, test these things. Don't despise prophecies. Don't say, I'm not gonna believe that anymore. That's really, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, but test these things. Test it by what? Test it by the Word of God. Test it and to make sure that this is what God is saying. God speaks to his people today in many ways. Will we listen for his voice? Will we do the work necessary to learn the voice of our shepherd? Will I slow down enough to really listen to him? God speaks to us today, and as we pursue that, there's some questions that we would do well to ask ourselves in determining, is this direction I'm going? Is this the will of God? Is this the direction that God is leading me? How do I know this? Is this helping anybody? I hope it is, because I think as God's people, we need to really understand that we need to know his voice, right? And there's some questions we need to ask ourselves when we're leaning in a direction. Number one, as I said before, God will always speak consistently with his word. And so the first test, the first question we need to always ask ourselves is what I'm thinking, is the direction I'm feeling, is it confirmed in the scripture? Is it in the word of God, explicitly or implicitly, right? Is it in there? Secondly, we need to recognize that God's voice makes sense. There's a degree of logic to what God is saying. Listen, God didn't give you a mind to check it out at the door, right? God gave you a brain to use it, right? God's given us the Proverbs to build on our wisdom base, right? And so we need to recognize that his voice will make sense. There's a degree of logic to what God is saying. What he's telling you to do certainly will require faith. I'm not suggesting they won't require any faith, but God will never call you to be irresponsible. I mean, just an example of that. God is never going to call you to, you know, go quit your job and just spend 40 hours a week in prayer. I know you got a wife and kids and a mortgage and everything. Just trust God, right? Just he'll take care of that. But just, you know, that's not reasonable. It's not biblical, right? It's not something God would call. It sounds real spiritual, but it's not what God would call somebody to do. Now, that doesn't mean that God doesn't call us to do things that's not going to stretch our faith, right? He's always going to call us to do things that'll stretch our faith, but they're not going to be irresponsible. Because the more I read this word of God, God calls us to be responsible people. He calls us to be responsible and take care of the things that we're called to be responsible for. And so number three, another thing we need to consider when following the voice of the Holy Spirit is this going to make me more like Jesus? I mean, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. Is this decision I'm going to make, is this going to make me more like Christ? Because ultimately, that's what it's all about, right? We are to be ambassadors for Christ, Christ's representatives to the world around us. And so is this consistent with making me more like Jesus? Number four, let me just say this, that the Lord speaks clearly. It's not confusing. God is not the author of confusion, right? And it's not so spiritual that only certain people can understand it, right? That's another, you know, one that kind of gets me going, right? When it's like somebody's like, oh, this is what God's called me to do, and they lay it out there, and I've got that like paralysis of analysis, like, and like, oh, you just don't get it. Okay, I'm not spiritual enough to get it. I get it. You know, there's this. God's direction is not so mystical that it can't be carried out. God speaks clearly. Listen, God doesn't always speak clearly all at the same time when we want him to, by the way. Sometimes God will give us bits and pieces of the plan along the way. He'll give us a little something and he'll say, right now, follow me a little bit more and I'll fill in the gaps. And follow me a little bit more and I'll connect some dots and follow me a little bit more. And we're learning, what are we doing? We're learning to hear his voice. And we don't make the decision until God's spoken clearly, right? But God will speak clearly. And then lastly, let me just say this, and this is an important one. Is there confirmation from the people who love you the most? Not just the people who want you just to be happy the most, the people who love you the most, the people who have a history and a vested interest in seeing you be all that God wants you to be, that love you enough to offend you, right? The scripture says, faithful are the wounds of a friend, right? Someone who has enough history with you that can speak into your life and kind of take a step back and look and say, yeah, you know what, that looks good, but have you considered this? Now, not everybody's going to agree with you, and that's okay. That doesn't become the final all in all. But you know what? There needs to be some confirmation from those who genuinely care and love you. There needs to be some consistency and confirmation from them in that. And so I think that these are just some of the things that we need to kind of, we need to grow in this area. It's a process. It is an ongoing learning of the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's very interesting. You can be in a crowd of people, but when you hear your kid cry, it's like, oh, you know, right? Isn't it funny how you're tuned in to certain voices? May we be tuned in to his voice. May we hear what God is saying to us. May we tune out everything that seeks to cloud and inform my decision, because everything out there wants to make you a certain way, right? Isn't that what our marketing does? You need to look this way. You need to sound this way. You need to believe like this. It's like we need to just turn the volume down and all that. Take a step back and say, God, what are you saying? Drown out the voices so we can hear his voice. Father, we thank you for your word. As David said, it's a lamp unto our feet and it's a light unto our path. We thank you for your word that is the ultimate guide by which every one of these other measures that I laid out needs to yield to. I pray, Father, that in these days ahead, that we as your people would slow down enough to learn to hear your voice. I thank you, God, that you've got something to say to us. You care about the things we care about. You care about the decisions we make. Father, I pray that we would pursue you and your plan, your purpose, for the sole purpose of bringing glory and honor to your name, because we love you so much. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.